There has been a lot of discussion and honestly a little bit of misinformation on one of the subjects I'm about to share with you. I call this 2025 the Damascus Prophecies. Now, I've been noticing, and I don't listen to what everyone says, but I see what they're posting or I see what they're saying. And with some incidents that happened in Damascus, Syria recently, suddenly everybody had it as a major fulfillment of Isaiah or Ezekiel. And a lot of times these are individuals that may not have the experience of the total knowledge of prophecy or of the Bible, and therefore they can get some of their information incorrect. So not that we're trying to be an expert, but I have been preaching for 48 years and over 100,000 hours of Bible study. So I do speak to issues based on many, many years of experience, being raised under great theologians, so we want our information to be correct. And so that's why we're going to be sharing with you this story about Damascus. Now, let me say up front that in the religious world, and I hate to use that term, but let's say it another way, among the three monotheistic religions, which is Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, what do I mean by monotheistic? They believe there is one God. We believe in God. The Jewish people believe in God. The Muslims use the Arabic word Allah. The Hebrews use the word Adonai. They use Hashem. They use Yahweh, all speaking about the same God, because they don't try to pronounce the sacred name of God, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, in the Hebrew language. Christians will call him the Lord God, the Almighty, speaking of the same person. Now, among the three monotheistic religions, there are also elements of prophecy. Now, the Christians have probably more prophecies in their repertoire than, of course, the Jews or Muslims. Why do I say that? Because among devout Jews who are not messianic, they take the Torah or the prophets, but the Christians take the Torah, the prophets, and the New Testament's 27 books. When you add that together, there are over 1,000. Someone said about 1,800 major prophecies connected to things relating to the coming of the Lord, the kingdom, and things of that nature. Now, in Islam, I want to give you a prediction. This is one of their predictions. Quote, there will come a major conflict in Syria, and it will be destroyed. There are three Middle Eastern events that are planned in the future that are going to change the whole course of history and fulfill prophecy. Now, when I say this, these are not the only three. There are many more. But number one is the rise of Persia, which is Iran, and Persia or Iran forming a coalition of nations to eventually attack Israel in a ground war. That's point one. Number two will be the destruction of the city of Damascus, which is specifically prophesied in Scripture. And the third will be when there comes a coalition of 10 kings out of the old Roman Empire and out of the old Middle Eastern territory, 5 from the east and 5 from the west, that will unite with a man called the Antichrist. Now, these are the game changers, these main three events when it comes to what we're looking at in the distant future prophetically. Now, the one I want to focus on is called the destruction of Damascus. Now, when we talk about the destruction of Damascus, let me just tell you a little bit about Damascus. In fact, let me skip down here. I have a whole lot of things that I wanted to share with you, but I want to tell you a little bit about Damascus itself. Now, Damascus is considered to be the oldest continuing city that exists, okay? Now, let me just go right to the prophecy, because I was going to bring it down way later, but you need to know where I'm coming from, and that's why I'm skipping down through this. Sometimes I have this on a screen, and they would be driving crazy right now trying to find what I want to tell you. All right, in the Old and New Testament both are predictions which have happened. There are predictions in the process of taking place, and there are predictions that have not yet happened, which will happen in the future. One of the great prophets of the Bible, called a major prophet, he has 66 books in our, 66, not books, but 66 chapters in our Bible, is the prophet Isaiah. Great prophet, very accurate, prophesied about the Messiah being born of a virgin. He prophesied about the suffering Messiah, Isaiah 53, the great prophecy that goes in detail about Jesus, the Messiah, suffering. But I'm going to give you an order of chapters real quick, and I'm going to get to the main verse. In Isaiah chapter 13, the entire chapter is a prophecy against Babylon, which existed in Isaiah's day. Chapter 15 is a prophecy about Moab, which is today the country of Jordan. Isaiah 17, and this is the one we're going to show you, is a prophecy about Assyria and Damascus, the main city. Isaiah 18 is a prophecy about a place that exists called the land beyond Ethiopia. Now, that would be either in the northern Africa area, or some even suggest up into the western part of Europe. Isaiah 19 is a prophecy about Egypt and what would happen in Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 21, it's called the burden of the sea, and it mentions the nation of Arabia, which today would be the Gulf states or the area of Saudi Arabia. Now, as we talk about this, let me just give you, first of all, an example of what he said about the country of Egypt. Now, Egypt at this point of time has certain types of relationships with the nation of Israel through peace talks and negotiations. There are millions of Coptic Christians in Egypt. Many of them watch our program, and we want to greet anyone from Egypt that's watching us. We love the wonderful Egyptian people that we've met here in the United States so often. And we also want to give you, though, what Isaiah said. Now, he said there would come a civil war among the Egyptians in chapter 19. Egyptian will fight against Egyptian, Isaiah 19, verse 2. In verse 4, they would be given over to a fierce king and lord. In verse 5, the rivers would begin to dry up. In verse 18, five cities would speak the language of Canaan. Now, the language of Canaan would be Hebrew. It's an interesting prophecy there in verse 18. And then there's another verse, which is verse 18, that said one of them, one of the cities that would speak, would know Hebrew, would be called the city of destruction. Well, El Arish, which I've had lunch there, it's a coastal city. One of the early Semitic names could mean city of destruction. When the five Canaan-speaking cities, that has already been talked about when you talk about the Gaza Strip area and you come all the way down into that area. There's so many tourists that come through there that some of the people know the Hebrew language in many of those cities. Now, the basic thing is this evil, cruel Lord, which would rule over Egypt one day, is none other than the Antichrist, and that's found in Daniel 11, verse 40 through 45, and it says that Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia would be at the steps of the Antichrist, and he would be over the wealth of Egypt. So this has not happened. All these verses that Isaiah prophesied about maybe 2,500, 2,600 years ago have not yet happened. Actually, it's longer than that. It's more like 2,700 years ago. And so that's important to understand that although these are ancient prophecies, some of them have not happened. One of them that has not yet happened, that is on the schedule that everybody's talking about, is Isaiah talking about the destruction of Damascus. Chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. The burden of Damascus. Behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city. It shall be a ruinous heap. Now, he names a city here. The cities of Uroer are forsaken. They shall be for flocks. They shall lie down. None shall make them afraid. The fortress shall also cease from Ephraim, and the kingdom from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria. Now, there's going to be a remnant that survived this. They shall be as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. All right? Now, let me talk about this for a moment. In Genesis chapter 14 and verse 15, Damascus is mentioned, and it's the city where Abraham's servant Eleazar came from. Damascus is about 4,000 years old or a little bit older. And when I say the city, I'm not talking about the buildings that are there now that are hundreds of years old. I'm talking about it has been an inhabited area for 4,000 years. And Abraham came from the Ur of Chaldee and came across the area of Syria. That's where he picked up his servant Eleazar, who was with him up to the time of his death. Now, the word Damascus can come from a Semitic word that means a well-watered area, because Damascus has been from the beginning an oasis because there's water there. Most Muslims consider Damascus especially if they're Sunni Muslims, they consider Damascus to be the fourth holiest city. Now, among Muslims, Mecca is considered their holiest. Then you have Medina. Then you have Jerusalem, because the mosque is there. The Dome of the Rock is there. So the fourth would be Damascus. It has been captured. Now, this is what's interesting. It's never been totally wiped out the way the prophet predicted, but it's been captured by the Egyptians. It was captured by the Assyrians. It was captured by the Chaldeans. It was captured by the Persians. It was captured by the Greeks. It was captured by the Romans. So it has a history of, because of its location, because it is a place that has an oasis and it has water, because all these nomads with their camels and their animals are coming through and passing through. And it was a trade route, by the way. You had the King's Highway that ran through there, and you had several, another huge highway that ran through there. So it was a trade route. It was a place where there was plenty of water, etc. Now let's get back to the modern time, because man, we could spend a lot of time giving you the history, but I know what you are interested in is the modern time. In 1919, the Syrian government was established, not Assyria, because Assyria was a kingdom and Assyria was an empire. So Assyria was not just Syria. Assyria was Babylon, Assyria, Lebanon. So it was an area. It would be like calling Babylon an empire. No, Babylonia. The Babylonians had an empire of several nations. Babylon was a city. So Syria is a nation, but Assyria in the ancient days was many nations that were under one leader whose headquarters was that area. Now, having said that, I want you to follow me carefully. The capital of, in fact, Damascus was the capital of the Umayyad dynasty of Muslims, and it started in 661 and it went on into the 8th century, and they built a very famous mosque there called the Great Mosque. And it's actually world famous in the Islamic world. So in 1919, the Syrian government was formed, not Assyria, but Syria, which is what we know now. And it was formed and made Damascus its capital. So Damascus became the capital of Syria in 1919, although it existed for thousands and thousands of years as a major city and a major trade route, etc. So it has been attacked in the past, and sometimes vineyards and orchards and things like that were destroyed. But because of the water, it became a place that people did not want to destroy it, because they wanted to have it. I mean, that's a desert out there. If you've ever been in that part of the world, it is hours and hours of desert. So you want this. Now, they were spared, too, because of the ability of paying tribute. And that's a whole nother issue. Okay. So it has continued to this day. Now, the Syrians have been involved with wars of Israel. They were involved in the 67 war. They were involved in the 1973 Yom Kippur war. But they began to lose territory every time they fought a war with Israel. They lost the Golan Heights, which was annexed by Israel into Israel and is now considered to be a part of Israel. The Encyclopedia Britannica says this: among ancient cities of the world, Damascus is perhaps the oldest continuously inhabited. Its name, Dimashq in Arabic, is derived from Dimashqa, a word of pre-Semitic origin suggesting that the beginning of Damascus goes back to the time before recorded history. Let me tell you something about that area. According to research I did in 2023, out of 173 global cities, okay, and the global livability of Damascus was the city at the bottom of the list. In other words, it is considered to be the least livable city. Now, people live there, but the least livable city out of 173 global cities. Think about that. Population presently is about 2.3 million people. Now, there's a small Christian community, there's a Muslim community, there's Druze, there's Kurds, and there's other, we call them small sects that live there. And so this is a very historic city. It's a very well-known city. It's a very known city in the Islamic world. Urur, which is the city which is mentioned in the prophecy, is actually located in south central Jordan today. Now, the land of Ephraim that is mentioned in the prophecy happens to be today in what is called the West Bank, which is the Palestinian territories according to the Palestinians. The remnant of Aram, now all of this is in these prophecies. If you go to chapter 17, The remnant of Aram refers to the Syrian people themselves. And there's a whole background study you can do on that. Then it says the glory of Jacob, that's Israel, will fade. In other words, when that's done, when Damascus is destroyed, Israel is not taking over Damascus. They're not taking over that area. They are back in their land and back in their territory. So I think that's what that has reference to. In Isaiah 17, 4 through 9, a remnant will remain at the time the destruction takes place. Now, when it happens, I'm still in chapter 17 of Isaiah. Here's what it reads in verses 12 through 14. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the sea, to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee afar off, and they shall be chased as the chaff of the off of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at eventide, trouble. But before the morning, he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us and the lot of them that rob us. Now, here's what's interesting. That verse I just read to you gives a clue that there's trouble coming in the evening. Something's going to happen in the evening, but when the sun comes up in the morning, it no longer exists. So this has to be a weapon of mass destruction of some kind that is so large that it just levels the entire area. Now, I don't believe it would be nuclear. It could be, but I don't believe it would be. And I have different reasons for saying that, because people survive it in the area. But this is going to be a major deal. So the nations will be raging, meaning the nations will be angry, and, you know, actual nations. Now, think about who's angry right now, because what has happened is the Assad regime, which has ruled for 50 years, has been overthrown by militias. And these militias are several different groups. In the north, you have the Kurds, and the Kurds want to carve out their own nation, actually. And there's millions of Kurds, and they have been supported by the United States as far back as the time of Saddam Hussein. So you have the Kurds. Then you have the Druze, which are a group of people that are predominantly at the border of Lebanon and Israel and the border of Syria. So there is a Druze army, and they are supportive predominantly of Israel because Israel protects the Druze people. Then you also have, in these militia, you have different types of militia. You have more moderate that are called the Democratic Militia that are a part of this. And then you have some that were used to be a part of Al-Qaeda that have changed their name. Now, what's happening now is you have one man that's kind of stepping in to be the leader. But I'm telling you, I've seen this happen so many times in the Arab world or in the Islamic world, where one leader comes in and another group has a militia with a couple thousand. This guy over here has a militia. And if they can't sit down at a table and agree who gets what, who gets what money, who gets what land, who gets what support, then there's an internal battle that starts between them. Now, the biggest thing that's happened with the fall of Assad is that a lot of the people are wanting a new government, new people. They want to kind of come into the modern world. A lot of them do. And that's what some of the new people taking over this government are saying, although nobody really knows what's going to happen as far as that's concerned in the near future. The real issue here is Iran or Persia. Now, they have lost Hamas. They have lost Hezbollah. Now, there's still people in Hamas, don't get me wrong. There's still people with Hezbollah, a lot of them. But they're losing ground and they're losing support. Because I want to tell you something. I know this for what I'm going to tell you is a fact. This isn't something I'm making up. The 30 and under, if it's Syria or Lebanon or Jordan or Iraq or even in Persia, the 30 and under, they don't want fighting. They don't want murder. They don't want strict laws that lock you up in jail if you disagree with somebody. They want freedom. Now, the older generation is kind of locked into their system and locked into their belief and locked into what they think. But the younger generation, God's going to pour out His Spirit and His Word upon all this younger generation, because it's promised in the last days. There's a global revival coming. It's already happening, although you don't hear reports on it, but it's not a traditional revival the way you and I in America were raised to go, like a Brownsville revival or a Perry Stone, you know, 3-month revival where you go to a church building every night. It's on a different scale. It's on a global scale. It's done differently. God's going to do it His way. Let me say it that way. But the Persians are finding themselves without support. They're finding themselves without militia. They're finding themselves without armies. And eventually, and this is the point I want to get to, eventually the Antichrist will step in. Here's what happens when Christ returns. Listen to these verses. I got to get these verses to you. There should be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the day that they came up out of the land of Egypt, Isaiah 11:16. This is in Isaiah, by the way. Isaiah 19:23-25. In that day, there'll be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. This is the country of Syria now. And the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptians shall come into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. And in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the works of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. So for those of you that watch me in the Middle East from Egypt and Jordan, and maybe it's on the internet, let me just say the distant future looks very, very bleak. The far future looks very, very good, because Egypt and Assyria and Israel are going to eventually come together. Now, here's the thing you all got to understand. All you men in the Middle East, you are related. You're either through Esau or you're through Ishmael. They are brothers of Jacob and brothers of Isaac. So you've got to understand, this is a family feud. You need to quit feuding. You need to get together for your children and grandchildren's sake. Oh my goodness, could you imagine the tourism that Syria and Egypt would get if all they would do is make peace? Everybody would prosper. Everybody would be blessed. But there's good news in the future. But right now, let's keep our eyes on what's happening in that part of the world, and keep our eyes mostly on Jesus. You got to watch this. I've got something for you, and stay with me till the end.
Are you ready to unlock profound prophetic insights and explore the mysteries of God's divine plan? Harry Stone invites you to dive into an extraordinary teaching resource that unravels ancient truths, spiritual warfare strategies, and end-time revelations. Introducing a dynamic collection of audio teachings designed to equip and inspire believers in this prophetic season. This powerful prophetic resource features three insightful audio CD sets, plus a bonus CD packed with surprising revelations about the rapture. The first teaching of the two CD set is titled The Battle of the Gods and Beasts, and dives into a stunning exploration of ancient false gods and their modern-day spiritual implications. Discover how Christ countered the dangerous idols of the Roman and Greek empires, and how these revelations impact spiritual warfare today. The second CD examines the future two beasts rising, revealing how two demonically influenced men will fulfill key apocalyptic prophecies. The second two CD resource, Yahweh's Prophetic Clock, enters the much-debated subject of how God is counting prophetic time to establish the timing of the rapture. This teaching explains the mystery linked with the number 7 and the numerous other prophetic cycles and patterns. This eye-opening two-hour teaching provides one of the clearest explanations of God's prophetic calendar, offering fresh insights that will deepen your understanding. The third audio teaching, When Angels Show Up, includes two compelling messages. The first reveals the angelic covenant of protection, an essential understanding for navigating this dangerous season. The second message, How to Release Angels During Prophetic Seasons, teaches how to access heavenly messengers during times of increased demonic and angelic activities as prophecies are being fulfilled. This is an important revelation on angels. We are also including a bonus CD, The Chaos of the Rapture. Within 48 hours after the rapture, the chaos of Revelation 6 will be unleashed. Learn how millions of people missing and the atomic effect of the rapture and resurrection will send the world into darkness and complete confusion. This comprehensive teaching package includes 3 teachings, 6 CDs, plus the unique single CD on the chaos of the rapture, offering over 7 hours of prophetic teaching. For a limited time, you can receive this prophetic teaching package for a donation of $30 or more. Call us toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or order online at perrystone.org. Additionally, you can write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320, and enclose your gift of $30 or more to request CD package offer YP-147. This package is also available as a digital download on our website. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Hey, thank you for joining me on the Manifest Telecast. I just want to mention, this is a special packet, and it's only available for this week and next week. And then we will move on to our next Manifest Television offer. I want to thank you for joining me around the world. And if you would like to get this, this is available mostly in the United States, but if you're overseas, I believe you can get a digital download. If you pay for the download, you can get that. So check that out. Just go to perrystone.org and check out the information, because the digital downloads are available immediately, and it goes right into your system there. So we want you to hear the word. And I want to say this very quickly while the information comes on the bottom of the screen of where we're going to be. You need to understand that this is how we keep Manifest on the air around the world, is through our resource offer. So whether you get the digital download or the resource material, that is the main way that we keep the program going around the world, with the potential of way over 1 billion people being reached. Now, that doesn't mean you're reaching 1 billion. It means the potential is there with all that's set up to reach that many. And actually, it's probably more like 2.5 billion people that the possibility is there. So thank you for your prayers and your support. We hope to see you in our conferences, which are coming up.
America's premier international prophetic summit is coming in 2025. Come be a part of this dynamic conference April 23rd through 27th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Jonathan Kahn, Mario Murillo, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, John Kilpatrick, Joseph C., and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Mark your calendars for April 23rd through 27th and register today. Visit perrystone.org for more information.